Well, welcome everybody to a special episode of Unlimited Parenting. I am thrilled to have not one, but two incredible guests from Delta Dental with us today to dive into the world of dental health. And together we're going to help answer some common questions families have and give them some tips they may not have known. So welcome to both Cammie and Heather, and I will hold the floor for you to introduce yourselves. Cammie, can we start with you?
Hello, I'm Cammie Sinden, and I am the manager of Community Outreach Direct Programming at Delta Dental of Idaho.
Thank you, Heather.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here. My name is Heather Brown. I am the Senior Director of Oral Health and Community Outreach, and I get to work with Cammie and a big, fun team, and we get to do a lot of cool things in the state. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you guys for lending your time and your expertise for Idaho families today. I know that you guys have some really great initiatives, and I just want to make sure that everyone in our audience knows about them and how to access them. So I was hoping we could get started by answering the question, what is the importance of oral health to children? Out of all of the other things parents have to do for their kids, well child checks, therapies, what is the importance of oral health?
The mouth is connected to the body. It's so important that everyone understands that. Good oral health habits formed in childhood lay the foundation for lifelong health, prevent painful dental issues, and reduce the risk of health conditions related to poor oral hygiene, dental decay, infections, gum disease, gingivitis, things like that. Educating kids early on empowers them to take responsibility for their own health, but it helps them understand that caring for their teeth is important, just like caring for their whole body is important.
And I think that you make a really good point. Something to highlight there is that when we talk about a community of children with special health care needs, an infection, even in something like the teeth, is something we very much want to stay away from. So do you have any tips and tricks on how we can instill strong oral health in children? I know you talk about kind of making it a habit. Is there anything else you would tell families?
Letting the parents duplicate, right? Replicate what the parents are doing, showing the kids, waking up every day, brushing with them, doing it next to them so they see their parents doing it, and it just becomes a habit. They know it's something they need to do. They do it in the morning before they go to work, go to school, same thing at night, making it a routine. They see their parents doing it, then they know they need to do it. And then just a kind reminder, of course.
Even I need some of those, right? Reminder, brush your teeth. That's what assistive technology is for, right? Can I pivot a little bit and ask what community initiatives that Delta Dental has around Idaho right now?
Sure. We have many different programs. We have the Grins on the Go, which is a mobile dental clinic, and we go into the schools to provide free sealants and fluoride and education. And that's a great way to reach the children, bringing the services to the children. Parents don't have to take off work to pull their children out of school, drive to the dentist, get them taken care of, and we bring those services to them. So that's a great program. We see so many kids. We're in over 220 schools in all over Idaho. So that's one of our great programs that's really helping. Another program we have is the Land of Smiles program, which is a virtual video kids can watch. It's fun. It's got superheroes characters, but it teaches the importance of oral hygiene, how to brush and floss and avoid sugary drinks and have a healthy diet. It's a fun way for the kids to learn. And then we also, there's a pre and post test that they can take so we can ensure that the kids are learning from that program as well.
If my school is not a part of that program, is that something I could ask my school to ask about?
Absolutely. So the Grins on the Go, we do target the lower income schools. So we do use the free and reduced food lunch report to determine if they're 50% or greater, they qualify for Grins on the Go for the free dental services. But for the Land of Smiles, all schools qualify. They just need to reach out if they're interested in having the educational program.
Fantastic. And these are statewide, correct? Not just in Treasure Valley?
Correct.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. And then we also do a lot of health fairs, community events. We go to food banks, Salvation Armies. We pop up everywhere to provide a day clinics where we're providing screenings, and we usually will see everybody at those. We'll see their parents, the kids. So we have a lot of different, we're just not scheduled, but we do have a lot of different events that we attend as well on top of those programs.
Yeah. And I'd like to add that we also have a Rethink Your Dream program, and those are in schools. And what it is, basically, a school can apply for a grant to have a water bottle filling station installed in their school. And around the water bottle filling station, we provide water bottles for everyone at the school. There's lessons and teachings and stuff to help children, you know, kind of decide between a sugary beverage and a water beverage. And so that's been a very, very successful program. And those grants and those water bottle filling stations can be basically applied for by any school. We initially started out with lower income schools, but we have grown the program, and it has been extremely successful, as Cammie's programs out as well. So that's been a great add-on. I think we've done it for a couple of years now.
Wow. Yeah, I definitely want to encourage my school to get access to that.
Yep.
More specifically, can I ask in what ways Delta Dental of Idaho has provided support to the special needs community?
I'll take that one. And I'm really proud to report that a couple of years ago, there's a federally qualified health center called Family Health Services. It's in Jerome. It's chaired, or the cheerleader and the dentist in that community asked for some funding to actually build a special needs clinic attached to the federally qualified health center, and it's called Your Healthy Smiles. So her name is Dr. Brooke. We not only funded building the clinic, and I'm saying, like, you know, tactile rooms, different kind of,
wow,
a different place for these folks to be able to be treated well and professionally. And one of the things we did actually add on to that build was a special compact wheelchair recliner that I think there's like two in the whole state of Idaho. And we, Delta Dental of Idaho, funded both of those. But this wheelchair chair actually can hold either a electronic wheelchair or a powered wheelchair, or, you know, a regular wheelchair. And you just, the wheelchair just kind of goes back into the chair. The patient doesn't have to get out of their wheelchair. It tips back the way it's supposed to. It makes having treatment done for the patient much, much more comfortable, but also the provider. And so Dr. Brooke, who uses this in her clinic, she is able to treat people that she was not able to treat in a comfortable or respectful manner. I know that sounds weird, but like she actually sent me pictures one day, and there was a patient sitting on a bench, and she was like on the bench, like trying to pull, I don't know, a tooth or something like that. It was just, that's because they don't have the equipment they need. So we also bought one for Terry Riley Health Center, which is down here in Boise, and they use it a lot. And so it's a very special chair. They're not inexpensive. Unfortunately, I wish everybody could have one. But it's something that we felt was really important for this community. And people literally will drive 3 or 4 hours to go to Dr. Brooke's clinic. So
that's what I was thinking, is that yeah, that's where they are. That's where I would want to drive to receive that service.
Absolutely. And not only that, she's just amazing dentist anyway. So and she loves this population. So you're going to get great treatment from her. But also any place that has one of these chairs or wants it, you know, that's really for them to decide. And it's just good all around.
Do you think that it would be fair to say that without access to a chair like that, some of our kids may have needed, you know, sedated dentistry in a hospital to receive that kind of service? And with this chair, now they can access that same level in the community clinic?
I think that's a possibility. I think sometimes, or what I know is that a lot of times the children that are going into the OR and being put under, it depends on their case, you know, like, do they have to have their whole mouth restored? That might be a reason for going under anesthesia. If it's something less than that, they just can't get comfortable or whatever. I mean, this chair could definitely be a help there, or it's at least a start to see if the child or the grown-up can manage themselves while in the chair. So, yeah, but I think it's case-dependent, really.
Is there, can we expect in the future potentially any more chairs like that? Is that part of the community initiative? Or is it just we saw a need in this one particular community and we had the ability to make that, to grant that wish at that time?
To make that happen. Honestly, that's kind of how it panned out. But I can tell you that Delta Dental of Idaho, I think we've done this about a year and a half now. Delta Dental of Idaho Community Outreach has a grant program. And this is the money that we offer grants twice a year. We do one in a grant cycle in April. We do one in November or October. It just closed for this year. But any entity that is interested in purchasing something and doesn't have the money, or you know, has half and wants to apply for a grant for the other half, I mean, we're always interested in helping other entities get what they need. So it's something that we can provide grant money for. And the grant process is pretty simple. It's you know, it's not a federal grant, like 25 pages or anything like that. So yeah, if there's somebody out there that's interested, we're happy to take a look at it.
Yeah, that's great. That's good information to know. For parents of children with sensory needs or dental anxiety, these visits are really extra challenging. Do you know, does Delta Dental support any kind of specialized training for providers to make dental visits smoother?
For kids on the go, for our programming, and I should mention both Heather and I are hygienists as well, we do have training for sensory issues and just, you know, each child's a little different. No matter who the child is, just how we're working with them. So we are trained in working with different issues so that we can accommodate what that child is needing. A lot of, there are some programs for the dental community to do some training as well. And I would encourage everyone to go out and get that training because each child's a little bit different.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that takes a lot of weight off of the parents when they're considering what dental clinic to take their child, knowing that maybe if they are with Delta Dental, they might have a little bit of extra knowledge and know-how, and I might be more inclined to take my child there if I know that they are going to be very calm and receptive. Because if it's one thing that parents of children with disabilities know, is sometimes that providers can lose their patience a little bit. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. And one thing we've had, we actually had a mom call and thank us. We do the special needs classes as well at the schools. And we had a little boy. Yes, we make sure that we get into the special needs classes. All of our hygienists and assistants are moms. You know, we work really well with the kids, plus our special training. But we did have a little boy, an autistic boy, and we were able to get on all of his sealants. And the mom just called us just thrilled, saying that she's never been able to get him even in the chair at the dental office. And it took some coaxing. We did have to, you know, he came the first day. We were usually at the school for a few days. He came in the first day and was like, mm-mm. Nope. And then the next day, his special ed teacher brought him back in and it warmed up to us, sat in the chair, opened up, let us do everything. We've had quite a few. We had another girl, same thing in middle school. She's like, nope. And she kind of let us have it. And then the next day the issue was she needed to know what was going on. So then we scheduled her. Had it on her schedule. She knew she was coming the next day and came back, hopped in the chair, and we were just the best thing ever. And she let us do, we were able to get 16 sealants on her. We were able to seal her premolars as well. And it's amazing that she was in junior high and we were still able to put the sealants on all of her teeth and no decay. So that was awesome. But we've had some great success stories, and it's really, we have the time with what we do. And sometimes dental offices don't always have that luxury. They have a schedule and patients waiting where we can take the time, work with them. You know, we don't have to have that strict schedule where we can just stay with that same kid and give them the extra time needed, or let them come watch as long as it's okay with the other child. Let them watch for a little bit and see what we're doing, and then maybe come back the next day. I do appreciate that we don't have to be on such a tight schedule so we can work with the kids and let them ease into it so that we can place sealants, or even if it's just a fluoride treatment, you know, and they've never been able to have that, you know, the sensory issues, they don't like things in their mouth. So if we can get to that, or even sometimes they'll let us get in there with a toothbrush and just brush and just ease them into that treatment. It makes us all super happy when we see that progress.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And as you know, as a parent myself of three children with disabilities, hearing kind of those success stories makes me very much feel relaxed and more likely to want to make that my one thing that we need to push for. Out of all the sea of other things that we have as parents to take care of and do, this is one of those things that kind of relieves some anxiety so that I can make sure that that becomes a priority. Kind of in that same vein, can I ask, what are some specific like dental services or accommodations that maybe parents could ask for when they come in to see if they need extra support for a visit? If I'm going to Grins on the Go, is there anything, any language that I could use to help ask for things or let a provider know that maybe my child would need some extra supports?
Usually when you let them know, hey, they have some sensory issues, we have some different toys that will help the children hold, sensory toys, you know, where they can pop things with their fingers and they'll lay back in the chair and hold those. And just being aware of what they like. You know, sometimes we may think we're comforting by rubbing their arm, and that is not a comfort for some kids. So just being aware and communicating with your provider. And anything, we have online slips and we have paper slips, and we have a section where it says, please let us know. Is there something we need to know about your child? Always just communicate that. If there's something that you know, don't do this, whether you're at the dentist or filling out a slip for a school program, just communicate that. And every providers just want to do right by everybody. So if they have that information right up front, it's going to help out. Parents know their kids better than anyone. And sometimes some of our training isn't always correct. We may think we're helping when we're making the child more anxious.
Wow. Thank you. I appreciate that.
And we've actually had parents come, they've called and said, may I be there? And of course, for us, that's not a problem. We just ask that they call the school, make sure that's not going to be an issue. But in the past, they've always coordinated if the parent has wanted to be there, and they will just, you know, we'll make sure we pull the kid at a certain time when they're there, and they can be back there if they think that that would help their child. Sometimes it does, sometimes it makes it worse. So,
but that's truly really accommodating and really trying to meet the needs of the child where they are. I mean, not only are we talking about a service that's not at a dental office, you're making it more convenient for everybody. And then allowing a lot of flexibility just seals the deal for me. I will definitely be looking into that. I think for the last question that I have is, what would you say is the single most important piece of advice that you could give to families from your perspective on dental health?
Good oral hygiene, educating your kids on the importance of good oral hygiene, living it yourself, actually waking up and brushing and flossing and demonstrating that for your child, choosing water over the sugary beverages. I'm not saying you can't ever have that. If you're going to choose that, have it with a meal, but definitely drinking water throughout the day, and choosing a lower sugar diet as well, not just those drinks, and regular visits, just going to the dentist, living it for your child, and bringing your child, going in every 6 months, doing the preventive services so that you don't get to the point where you have a lot of decay and issues where you're having to be numb and go through the treatment. That's what scares the kids. And definitely don't think it's funny to tease their kids about getting numb, things like that. We run into so many parents that think it's so funny to say they're going to get a big shot. You know, don't use those words. We have different words that we use. Of course, we don't give anyone numb with the Grins on the Go program, but we have different words that we use. We explain everything to the children, but we don't show them scary things. We just tell them what it's going to feel like. So there's no surprises, but we don't have to use needles and shots.
That's really helpful to know, because sometimes as an adult, I want to prepare my child for every eventuality when you guys are the experts in that and have it under control and I can just kind of trust the process.
Yeah. Absolutely. So like instead of an injection, you know, with a needle, we'll say a cold sprayer. And I explain exactly what it is. It's a cold sprayer. It's going to feel very cold. It feels tight. You feel like a little pinch. It feels really tight. And then it feels really, really cold. And then your lip starts to feel really fat and funny. Kids hear that and they're like, okay, it's going to feel tight. It's going to feel pinched. There's that. It's amazing. I worked in a pediatric office for years, and that's all I did was numb up kids all day long for treatment. I don't know that I really had a failure. You tell the kids what they're going to feel, and it's not a surprise. They understand it. But if the parent has been there telling them how they're going to get a big needle, it they're just done. They're done before they even get in the chair. So, yeah, it's not funny. Yeah. It's not funny to tell your kids those things, you know. It's just let us get in there and tell them what we're going to do. We're not going to scare them. We're not going to surprise them. But let us know, you know, let us do the words.
Yeah.
We, Mr. Thirsty, a cold sprayer. You know, we've got the cute words and we tell them the suction's very loud. It's you're going to hear a lot of noise and all it's doing is sucking out the spit. Once they know, they're fine. But just coming in blind and hearing all these crazy noises and knowing a big needle's coming, that can be scary. So we don't like to use certain words.
Yeah, parents like to, I mean, and I sure, Cammie, you've heard this a million times, but I mean, when I was treating children, like a parent would literally say to their child while I'm trying to take an x-ray or something like that, and like, we have a really bad gag reflex. And I'm like, okay, well, hold up. You might have a bad gag reflex, but let's not teach like that. What Cammie was saying, like, just let the child experience what they're going to experience, and what your experience as an adult may have been doesn't necessarily have to be the same for the child. And something I do want to add on very quickly is that children should see a dentist. I think it's by the age of one or when the first tooth has erupted, which is the two little baby centrals and, you know, in the mouth. So that is part of the training. If you're getting your child into a provider or, you know, to not necessarily do any treatment, but it's introducing the child every 6 months as an infant and growing and learning that the dentist is not that, you know, not a bad, horrible dragon person, you know. So bringing them in when they're age one or first eruption of tooth is really, really important. And that can go for a lifetime of just being trained early on, and that it's fun to go and that we have prizes and so on and so forth. And, you know, I think that that's a big deal. But
and a lot of times that's really to educate the parent too. After they're coming in at age one or 6 months after that first tooth eruption, which is usually about one, they may not know. You know, we do hear parents saying it's just a baby tooth. Yeah, that's a baby tooth they're keeping till they're 12. So it is a big deal that there's a big, huge cavity in it. And an infection can spread through the body and into the heart or into the eye. It's just letting the parent know it is more than just a baby tooth. And just a baby tooth toothache hurts just as bad as an adult toothache.
Yeah.
And it hurts. And, it's just educating the parent, not putting them to bed with the bottle and sugary drinks in the bottle. A lot of it's to education. So definitely going in for that first visit at one and then continuing it and slowly working the child up to letting us do more. You know, that first one might just be a quick look-see, if anything, but maybe at a year and a half, two, we're actually starting to polish some teeth. Great.
Yeah, introducing them to stuff. And something that I teach when I'm out teaching is that I think it's about 51 million school hours are lost every year for children that are in dental pain. So that's a lot of hours, and children can't concentrate, just like Cammie was saying. Like, yeah, they're just baby teeth, but they're space holders for their adult teeth. They still have, you know, they're still sensitive. And so children can't eat properly when they don't have proper, you know, dental care. Their speech and maybe impeded nutrition, just all kinds of different. And when you're in pain, you can't focus and learn. So oral health care as a child is really, really, really important. And I'm really proud of the programs that we have with Delta Dental of Idaho and that we get to serve the entire state. And I just have to give a shout out to Cammie because she manages all those programs and she does a fabulous job. And you can see she's passionate. And I'm happy to be here with her.
Yeah, I can definitely feel the passion, and I'm almost kind of feel sad that parents are going to be listening to this audio only and not see your guys' faces, because there was definitely a lot of animation, a lot of love, and a lot of heart. I can say that for sure.
Yeah, that's us.
Everything that we've discussed today will definitely have a link included in our description, so parents can find ways to access that and learn more about those programs. I definitely want to give a huge thanks to both you, Cami, and Heather for bringing your expertise and your time and sharing your knowledge with us. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having
us.
Thank you so much, everyone out there, for listening in. And know that if you are in Idaho or planning on moving to Idaho and have questions on systems or services for children with disabilities, please consider reaching out to us on our website at IPULIdaho, that's IPULIdaho.org, or by calling us at 208-342-5884. Be sure to tune in next time. Until then, this has been Unlimited Parenting.
Thanks for listening.